Welcome to 321 Go the Podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
All right, Carissa, today, not Toddy, as I've written it in the script.
Scripts don't matter.
We'll be chatting with a familiar face for Run Disney athletes, not only as a start line, finish line, and course DJ, though not all necessarily in the same day, though possibly, I guess, but also a fellow Run Disney athlete having taken part in races on both coasts, unlike me. It's the one and only Katie Queen.
Yeah, super excited to have Katie Queen, and I wish we had more time to dive into how she does the not sleep all of the time, but we kind of scratched the surface of that. And I think you guys will really be interested to see a little bit more of her Run Disney background, but also her Disney background, because she, like all of us, you don't just show up and get a job at Disney. You got to go through the levels, and we did, and she did in epic fashion. So thank you, Katie, for joining us. If you guys listen to this before the race, yell at her as you go by. I heard you on 3, 2, 1, go! Like that, she'll really appreciate it. And healthier you, we're going to talk about the best fish in the sea. And we have a listener question about postpartum nutrition. Thank you guys for listening, for rating, for subscribing, for yelling at us, and yell at other runners as you pass them, even non-runners, people out there on the trail. 3, 2, 1, go. Maybe they'll get it. Maybe they won't. We don't care. Let's do this. All right, John, as we are taping this, an off pod, we had a little discussion about schedule, logistics for the weekend. Springtime surprise weekend. How do you feel?
Feel pretty good. I'll give everybody the inside baseball on this. It is, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday morning.
That's fantastic. Great information. They're thrilled. just warming.
Very quick.
I'm just warming up for the weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's actually Tuesday afternoon. I misspoke. It's a little after noon on Tuesday. So just trying to get everything together because I'll check into the Animal Kingdom Lodge tomorrow. So feel pretty good about the weekend. Possibly maybe taking part in one of the races. Don't want to say too much about that. It's possible that that's going to happen.
And we've that's not about us being ambiguous. It's still possible. It's still possibly possible.
Lot of moving parts.
Lots of moving parts. And we're not being ambiguous. We're not being coy. That is the truth.
Yeah. And several of my parts may be moving through one of the races, but we'll get back to
or
that.
Find out. To be determined on Saturday.
To be determined. But yes, so just getting everything done so that I can just sort of roll out tomorrow. My lovely wife, people will see her
Jody
on Sunday.
Pelkey.
She's only referred to that in the greater or Atlanta area. Please do not refer to her that way here. But she'll join us on Sunday. She's actually doing a corporate 5K on Saturday morning. So she's filling in one of the things that I normally do. But I want to have things in place for her here at the house. And to that point, towards the end of their chat, I want to talk to folks and see if they've made a cooking faux pas that I actually made a couple of days ago.
Okay.
So, feeling good. How about you?
I feel, two things. One, I want to let
everybody know. You got a lot going on.
That's my fault. We've had fun trips. I got into my part B race season has kind of started for me.
Yeah.
But what I want to say to people who are listening to this right now, before springtime happens, or even in the summer, you guys, it's going to be warm. Think about hydrating. Airplanes are more dehydrating than you think. So think about hydrating. Yeah. Ladies, I know you probably don't like to add in the calories of sports drinks. After the races, add in the calories of sports drinks. And then, I'm so sorry to say this, please watch your libations if you're doing the challenge before those long. I know, but John, the weather says 93 and 94 right now. So
hashtag dislike.
That's my note to please don't forget to think about hydration. And then I think how I feel is sad because it's the end of the season here in Walt Disney World. It's always from Wine and Dine to now, it's fairly evenly spaced out. We have these things to look forward to. And so it's a little bit sad that this is the last one. And then also, as we've said before, we never know if we'll be back the next season.
So we don't know.
We have to go into that maybe we'll see you next year. We don't have our contracts, blah, blah, blah. So I do enjoy the certainty of in the season. See you next time, blah, blah, blah. And it's just been, I think it's been a great season so far. I think that through maybe the podcast or other events that you and I've done, I feel like I've really gotten to know a lot more people this year. We've learned a lot more stories, which to us adds meaning to what we do. You know, we stand up there and we're silly and we're snarky, but at the end of the day, we're trying to help you get across something that's a really big deal in your life. And learning more about all of you, whether it's for fun or for overcoming breast cancer, whatever it is, it's been really enjoyable. And I'm sad that we're at the end of that journey for this season.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And for people who are veterans of the podcast, you probably know, but we won't probably find out till end of July or early August if we're going to be a part of next year's season. Here's the thing, folks. We have no reason to believe that we won't be. We also have no reason to believe that we will be. It's up to people far above where we stand.
But and other people change roles, too. So it's not like, you know, Mark sometimes doesn't know if he's going to come back. It's all done on this contractual basis. And that's just how things work in the biz. So it's not a knock on Disney. It's not us saying, like, we want you to do it differently. That's just the way it is. And so it does in that situation where I and John and I both never are overconfident about any job.
No. I just always, here's a good thing. If you get involved in entertainment, just always assumed. It's kind of like when they say, when you're hired as a head coach in a professional sport, you're just one day closer to being fired as a head coach in a professional sport. If you have a gig in entertainment, you're one day closer to no longer having that gig in entertainment, no matter what it is. So fingers crossed, but it has been. It's been a really fun season, and you're right. We have gotten to know a lot more people. I have a running club named after me now, which is just growing exponentially.
Riley Claremont has a sub club. I've seen rumors of a Riley Claremont club, but I will temper those rumors.
I cannot confirm nor deny
story of you guys.
No, I don't know.
Is that how it goes? I don't know.
Something like that.
All right. Moving on to something also timely this week. Marathon Monday, Patriots Day, the 128th Boston Marathon. Did you watch, John?
I watched some of it. I actually recorded it. And I actually had a couple of things that I had to do for the race start, so I didn't get to see any of that. I was able to dive in and out. I saw the wheelchair competitor whose name escapes me.
Marcel, the woman or the man?
The man.
Marcel, I think it's Hug.
Yeah, I think it's spelled Hug, but I believe you're right with Hug. Who just demolished his record.
He demolished his own record and the field.
Yeah, what a remarkable finish. And then I was able to come in a little bit later after the top finishers and watch some of it. And it looked like a great day in Boston. It looked like the weather cooperated. It looked very exciting. So always a fun event. Our good friend John Anderson doing some quality work on there. That's a long day of announcing.
It is, but John, did you find so much of like, he is you? And if anybody's ever like, there was like, when am I going to run a marathon? How about never? Like, he is so much of you up there, and I appreciate, like, it made me almost appreciate you more. Because
how was that even possible?
Well, because people could, I just felt like, you know what? They're owning their own personality, and John Anderson can do that at the highest level.
It should be, you know, I'm imitating him because he is like a A to B list announcing celebrity, and I am somewhere around Q.
I think he's going to be maybe offended that you put a B after like decades at SportsCenter.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think? John does great, great work. I said A or B. You know, there's nothing wrong with the B list, but he never achieved the Chris Berman style thing, and I don't think John would want that anyway. Yeah. So
what's the guy's name? Mike at NBC that took over for Bob Costas at the Olympics.
Oh, Mike Tirico.
Mike Tirico. Is he A? You're not going to put him in A list.
No, I'll say Tirico gets a bump to A list because he also does play by play for like Sunday Night Football.
Chris
and
Collinsworth.
Things like that.
What level is he?
He's an A list.
Okay.
Chris Collinsworth. If you're on one of those flights.
Romo as a football commentator.
You're definitely A-list.
The greatest
though,
ever.
The greatest ever. But now the backlash has begun.
Why?
The backlash has begun on Tony Romo. A lot of people are tired of his shtick. It doesn't seem like he prepares. But you know how that is. There's a very American thing to do, which is we build someone up and then we have to tear them down. And then we may build them up again because we love a redemption story. But yeah, Romo's got a lot of lot of people turning against him now. I think he does a great
job. This has gone sideways, folks. We apologize.
But, well, and again, I don't want to offend our great friend John Anderson doing the Boston
podcast.
Marathon, one of the bell cow events in sports, but he doesn't do NFL football, Major League Baseball, those things that kind of elevate you in the public consciousness.
Well,
so there we go.
Can fight about this. John Anderson did the broadcast, been on the podcast. Kerry Tollefson did the broadcast, been on the podcast. Meb Keflezighi ran, did not meet his goal, guys. So don't tell Meb I talked about him in this way. But if you don't make your goal, guess what? It happened to Meb. So it's okay. Go out there, do your training, try your best. And you said it was a great day. I know, not necessarily for the elites, and Meb started in the first wave of non-elites. It did feel warm to them. I heard other people say that it got warm. I also want to shout out Sahar, our friend Sahar that we've talked about in the podcast, finished the Boston Marathon for St. Jude. So way to go, Sahar.
And shout out to CJ.
CJ,
as well.
Yes.
CJ Albertson, he was the first American male
seventh.
To finish.
Yeah, in a 2:09. So that puts him, I think, four sub 2:10 finishes in the last few months. He can correct me. He probably will. But yeah, way to go. Way to go, CJ.
And more importantly for CJ, I'm sure, is he was the subject of an Instagram post that I actually did. And honestly, if you had to debate, what would be less likely, winning the Boston Marathon, finishing in the top 10, or actually being a part of an Instagram post for me, since I believe that is my third ever?
Should we send him a Pelkey Running Club hat, maybe?
I think we should.
Yeah,
I'd like to see some of those in Paris, to be honest. Let's make that a thing.
Okay, if you're going
the Pelkey
to Paris.
Running Club hat needs to make an appearance in Paris.
Well,
and realize, folks, I get nothing from this.
Spoiler alert, a guest in coming up in a few weeks is going to Paris to cover the Olympics.
All right.
Oh.
I don't know why I'm not there. Do I have to speak French?
I'm not there. Remember, I was supposed to go to Disneyland Paris, and then I didn't get to go to that either, so you're not going.
Okay.
I've
been angling for that if they ever bring that race back, but I know. They won't even send me out of the Eastern time zone, so I think Europe's probably a bit of a stretch for me. But yeah, Boston Marathon, always a great event, and I will go back and watch some more of it, but it was really fun to listen to John after having interviewed him. Mm-hmm. That's yeoman's work doing the television broadcast.
Especially in a race like that where like Lima's just out front and like that's all you're saying, and we have to move on for time because I have to go get my nails done. But I wish they had, and we know the cost of this and production of this, I wish they had two cameras. They had a pack camera and a lead camera, because I know how hard it was for them, and especially from doing trials, and I was explaining this to my friend I was watching it with. It's not like they're watching the second pack. They're seeing what you're seeing, and they're having to commentate based off that. All they have is, and here's Lima still running, and here he's still running, and then we're saying other things, and Kerry did an amazing job of, like, I talked to his agent, and he said this, and he said dad, and blah, blah, blah. But it's not like you have all these great angles to go back to. So I wish they would have kept two production vehicles so that we could talk about, hey, CJ's back there. He's working in a group with this. CJ's great at downhills. He took a lead here. I think as an American audience, it would have kept them more engaged, because as I'm passionate about Kenyan and West African runners, I don't think that spills over into most of the world. They want to know about the Americans.
No, and I would agree with you, particularly in an Olympic year when people are going to dial in a little more. People who don't generally watch track and field or don't watch marathons are now going to probably be watching in Paris. So it's a really good point, but that's a difficult broadcast to put on. There are a lot
and the
of
same thing is with Ironman, too. There's never a camera
exactly.
in second place.
Exactly. All right. On that same order, though not Ironman, you announced the Coast Guard Marathon earlier this month. How was it? Looked a little chilly.
John, Weston's chair is broken and I'm just sinking.
You really are. We're losing you. All right. Fair enough. You're submerging. You're submerging.
Coast Guard. It was amazing. I really encourage you guys. I don't know the race date for next year, but it is part of the Armed Forces series. So Army 10 Mile, Marine Corps Marathon, all of those races. It was in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, which is about an hour drive. You fly into Norfolk.
Great town.
Wonderful humans. Such good, just good humans there with the Coast Guard. And what I want to shout out, one, you guys do the race. There was a half. There was a full. It's extremely flat. It can be windy, but it wasn't too bad this year. Wonderful people. Barbecue at the finish. All the great things. The Admiral, the Commandant of the Coast Guard, was there. John, you're from Washington. That's a huge deal.
Yep.
She is the first, I believe, first woman to be the head of any branch of the armed forces.
Okay.
So she's there the first day at the 5K. She speaks. She watches a little bit. She walks the 5K. Then the next day she's there. She does everything. She goes to shake my hand and she has her coin in it. And she gave me her coin, which apparently is a big deal.
That is a big deal.
So I thought that was really cool. And I just told her, like, I'm so glad to have met you. Like, I'm excited that I can go back and talk to Claire about what you do and show Claire. I always want to show Claire, like, and even Elliot, too. Like, look at these women in power. Like, they can do things, like, the first of whatever. So,
Well, we'd like to get to the point when Elliot's an adult and Claire as well, where we don't have, to mention that it is
the first woman to ever hold this
title. The first woman or a woman doing it at all. And so, yeah, I have a, as you know, you growing up in, the Virginia Beach area, those Coast Guard, like, helicopters and ships and everything, and that bright white, that it's always cool to see the Coast Guard.
Yes.
That's just such a cool thing. And I had a friend who was a football coach at the Coast Guard Academy, and he just talks about how impressive those folks are. So, so well done, Coast Guard Marathon in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Highly underrated town, folks, if you haven't been there. It's a great place.
Yes. So shout out to Admiral Linda Fagan. Also, quick note, we were supposed to have two flyovers. Both got canceled because they were out on missions, one of which saved a life. So that's okay. It is okay when the flyover is canceled because they are doing what they are meant to do, and they did save a life, so that was great. You, before we wrap and get on to Katie, you had a cooking faux pas.
I have to ask anybody if they've ever done this. I, as you know, my wife and I are a bit foodies. You know,
I thought you were going to say dandy, but okay.
I'm a bit of a dandy, and we're both foodies, and we love Indian food. We have had Indian food with you before.
Yeah, delightful Indian food. Guru. I think
yes.
We had.
Great restaurant in Claremont, Florida, if you're up there and you want some Indian food.
And if you get takeout, sometimes you get free wine.
That's right. They should really cater our podcast chats. I've been trying to find an Indian recipe, a good Indian recipe. And I've done a couple of things, but a lot of times it's like 12 different spices, which I only have six of. Yes. And to go out and buy all those spices, you may not. It's not always the best choice.
I'm upset.
So I found a butter chicken recipe for the crock pot, because one of the things I like to do before a race week is do a big crock pot thing so Jody can freeze some things and she has some leftovers, because she doesn't cook as much as I do.
What a guy.
And she's going to be taking over like the animal stuff as well as working. So she wants to be able to come home and just warm something up and eat it. And we could eat Indian food every day, so doing a crock pot of one big meal is a good idea. So I found this one for butter chicken that was pretty basic, with chicken and some potatoes in it and onions and garam masala, which honestly just poured around my house so I can smell it all day long.
So good.
And so I'm putting all this in the crock pot in the morning. And, you know, it's one of the ones you have to cook on low. So it's like a 7-hour thing. And I'm doing the math in my head. All right. Because I'm going to be out later. When can I come back? And there's like a final thing you have to do.
I think I know how this goes.
To add cream and all of that sort of stuff. And so, not wearing my glasses, which is a really big mistake at my advanced age, I put all of this in, and it's all prepared, and it's going to be perfect, and we're going to have this fabulous Indian meal in 7.5 hours, and 6 hours later, I go to look at the crock pot, and I had only set it on warm.
Oh, I did not think that's what you were going to say.
And so all of the chicken thigh, the boneless, skinless chicken thighs have now been in a warm crock pot for around 5 hours and 45 minutes. So I do my due diligence. Is it safe to now turn this to? It is not safe.
That was
4 hours, you're in the safe zone.
Aww.
Beyond that, you're screwed. So I had to pour out this entire huge crock pot of Indian food. So that night became a public sub night as I had Woo-hoo! To go back. Well, actually, I had them deliver because I had like one free delivery. They try to get you to do the delivery thing. So I was able to get delivered the public subs and everything I needed to go back in and try to make the butter chicken again, which I did yesterday. And the butter chicken was delicious.
Good.
But just pointing out that. A couple of things I learned: never cook without my glasses on, and just check your crock pot temperature.
It's easy
frequently.
To do. Yes. Well,
wait 6 hours.
I think that's
if I'd have done it at 3, we would have been fine.
I know. I think it's not a cooking faux pas. I think that's a brain faux pas. But your culinary skills, that's not a culinary skill. So it's not a knock on your culinary skills. But John, Cilantro is an Indian restaurant, Winter Garden. Have you guys been?
No, have
All
not
right.
been.
We went. we liked some things, we didn't love others, but it's right next to Crooked Can, so maybe after race season, you and Jody and I can all go take the golf cart over there.
Cilantro. That sounds good, because there was a lot of cilantro in both butter chickens. So both. There was a lot of cilantro thrown away, and then there was more cilantro in the butter chicken.
Well,
so.
For some good news, we'll shout out our sponsors, because they always keep us on track. Pillar Triple Magnesium, a sports micronutrition company. They're products that are between pharmaceutical intervention and sports supplements. And John, I am bringing you some Pillar Triple Magnesium this weekend. Nice. It's going to help you sleep. It's going to help you recover. It is not your run-of-the-mill magnesium. You guys know I don't travel anywhere without my magnesium. This is a high dose of magnesium glycinate. It's a powerhouse ingredient. Great for your recovery. Again, helps with sleep. Also helps with digestion, which is important on a race weekend. But powerhouse pro triathletes and Olympians like Jan Frodeno, Ben Knute, and Gwen Jorgensen use it. Thank you to Pillar. Go to thefeed.com. That's where you guys are going to buy it in the U.S. and use the code 321GO. Maybe save a little money.
Also want to thank Sarah Akers from Runs On Magic. As listeners know, Sarah, a lover of Run Disney herself. She loves helping you plan those magical weekends. But that's not just what she'll do for you, Carissa. With Sarah, the world is your oyster. Looking forward to book a honeymoon getaway. And if you are, as I always say, congratulations on your nuptials. All-inclusive girls trip, maybe a boys' weekend to Vegas to put all your money on the New York Jets to win the Super Bowl next year, which they won't, and you'll lose it all. Whatever. Just have some fun. Whether you're looking to do any of those things or a family cruise, international adventure, Sarah's here. And she's at your service.
That's right. Complimentary travel planning services, personalized itineraries, all the things. Give the promo code 321GO when you request your vacation quote and be entered to win a $200 Disney gift card or a booking credit. Give her some love on Instagram at runsonmagic or email her at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com.
Okay, civilians, it's time for the goods. Let's get on to the interview.
We are so excited to have someone who keeps us moving, keeps us smiling, keeps us dancing in the parks, all over the Run Disney race course, and she does it all over the world. We have the Katie Queen with us. Katie, how are you, and where are you?
I am so good, and I'm currently in my home in Davenport.
I didn't know you lived in Davenport, so already learning new things. How is that drive from Davenport up to Disney sometimes?
For a Run Disney 2 a.m. call, it is wonderful. At any other time of the day, not that great. Predictably not that great, though.
My mother-in-law lives out there in Polo Park, so I feel your pain. If you have to go out there at a busy time where no one used to live there, it used to be, look at we're out here, and now it's part of the urban sprawl. All right, Katie, before we get into all this Run Disney stuff, let's start at the beginning. Tell everybody where you're from, how you ended up in Central Florida. If you're not from here, and I doubt you are because I've really never met anyone who is, and what's your Disney background? When did your love of Disney start?
I'm from Long Island, New York, but Long I Island. Don't have an accent because my mom is straight off the boat from Ireland. So between like my dad's Brooklyn accent and my mom's Irish accent, I kind of got none. And then I went to Boston for school, and then I hated the cold, so I came down here to run a marathon and found out about the college program, and you could say Run Disney made me move here.
Okay, so now we got to back up a lot of things. What marathon did you come down to run, and how old were you at this decision-making point?
It was the 2009 Mickey Marathon.
Okay.
And I had decided the New Year's Eve before that I was going to run a marathon because, you know, New Year's Eve resolutions.
And wow, you followed through with yours. I still haven't read Ulysses.
And you haven't talked about that in a long time, John. The beginning of the podcast is a lot of Ulysses talk. I thought you shelved that.
I know. Still trying.
Bringing it back.
Okay, how old were you?
Now we're going to be able to do the math.
Sorry.
I must have been like 19.
That's a pretty interesting goal for a 19-year-old to run a marathon. Did you have a running background?
No. I did a lot of sports in high school, but it was a very bold choice because then I was like running in the snow in Boston. So all of a sudden I had like frozen eyebrows to do like very long runs.
I did a few long runs in Boston when I lived there. The wet feet was the absolute worst part of it. Just And then no daylight. Like, oh, well, I spent the whole daylight today running. Like, cool, it's 3 p.m. and it's dark. But that's not the point. Okay, I have so many questions. I didn't know this. Did you think John and I were just supremely talented and fascinating announcers?
Good yes. Lord. We'll be editing out. Be honest, then we'll edit it out.
You have no recollection of us at all. You were just, what am I doing? There's so many people. These logistics are crazy. I'm at Disney,
I would be that person that long ago didn't say 3, 2, 1, go, did the other noises that would happen.
Runner said go.
Yeah.
Yes, I would practice that very often with you and by myself. And then there's a couple. I don't even know if I have the video still because, you know, they could be that old and on different phones that don't like transfer onto iPhones.
Well, I probably wasn't on the stage at the start. I probably left and went to the finish, and it was probably John and not Voldemort, but another guy on the stage with him.
But I.
Wow. For the record, can I just say.
Big fan.
Can I just say for the record, for anybody who hasn't, and I think we touched on this before, it morphed into 3, 2, 1 go from the original start, which you'll hear at most other races. And that is to aid the folks who are shooting off the pyro. It gives them the buildup to shoot off them, because all that really cool pyro, and shout out to my good friend who kind of runs, I think he kind of runs that part way up. Carl Cuomo used to be the drummer in a band I played bass in. He does all that stuff. Those folks do a good job, and the 3, 2, 1 go helps them fire them off on time. Because if we know anything, if they were a second or two late or early, there would be a flurry of emails to the Run Disney people demanding their money back.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And now, see, you've learned something by coming on this podcast. Okay. Ran the marathon, college program. What did you do? Where did you live?
Started as a lifeguard. That's where I met my husband. And then I did children's activities, which I opened it at the All-Star and then took it out to the other resorts. And that put me on a microphone for the first time. And then I did a lot of stilt walking workshops to get into entertainment. And then I was in entertainment in 2011.
Okay. John, you have a follow-up? I have a follow-up question, but I've spoken a lot. John, do you have a follow-up question?
I have a number of follow-up questions. First of all, I wanted to know where in Boston she went to college, because my wife's from New Hampshire and used to live in the North End and all of that sort of thing. What was your Boston? Because there are only, Katie, 1.9 million colleges within a 4-mile radius of downtown Boston.
I do think I partied at a lot of those, but I went to Boston University. Be very smart.
Oh, the Fighting Terriers of BU. All right. Want to shout out to the BU Fighting Terriers. Not sure if they're in the Frozen Four at this point, but they're usually there. Moving on. Carissa.
Okay. So how much can you talk about performance? Because I walk stilts as well, but I never walked them for the Walt Disney World Company. I did it for Hard Drive Productions outside of it because I was in college program. And then sometimes, those are a little background, college programmers are only there for a certain amount of time, so they wouldn't take the investment to train college programmers sometimes in shows because knowing they were going to leave. So I don't know why they let me go to a stilt audition anyway, but I did because I was just like, of course I want to walk on stilts. And when you go to a stilt audition, people may not know this, I've never been on stilts before. It was just like, put these on, hold the wall, and at some point walk away from the wall. Wasn't that what it was like?
Yeah, you have an hour and a half pretty much to get from a very tall ballet bar to sashaying across the floor, as I like to call it, but it's like a swift program.
Did you make it out the first time, or you said you kept doing the workshops?
Oh, I was able to walk stilts after the first time, but as you know, entertainment is much of a when they need you, they call you kind of deal. And yep. I was like, you will know I would like to be called. So I went to many a stilts workshop.
But that's not the only thing you did. So you finished college program, went back to school, or you, like some of us, got sucked into the bubble of Orlando?
Oh, I got sucked into the bubble of Orlando.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then you came back as a CT or part-time, or what did you do?
Well, so I accidentally switched to full-time in recreation, and because I was already full-time, entertainment kept me as full-time. So
that worked out good for you.
Yes. I was full-time for like 10 years.
How much can you divulge about things you may have done during those 10 years?
I did a lot of parades and shows, and I rollerbladed and danced a lot and then still walked a lot. And I have a very maniacal laugh and angry chin. So
do you like puppies?
Love them. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Good. What about croquet or lawn games? Did you play?
Always would be my ways for sure. But yeah, no, just a lot of making fun of Cinderella because who wouldn't want to?
Okay.
Just kidding. But sometimes that does come out of me because, like, you know, once it's ingrained,
yeah,
you're biased.
What about apples? Do you like, are you pro apple?
Oh, I am pro apple in the sense of I am not regal and poised in any way.
I think the apple is the only area you and I cross over, if anyone is really still following along with this journey. So thank you for that veiled look at being a performer at Walt Disney World. But Katie's been around, and I will say there is one Run Disney athlete, too, that Katie played a big role in their engagement. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. That was a good day.
Shout out to Brandon.
Brandon Andrew, woo woo!
All right, John, I think I've stopped distracting from our second question, but it's still my question. Would you like to take my question?
I will take your question since I'm still confused by the whole. I'm sort of slotting in what was discussed. The apple there's thing was helpful, and
apple?
The croquet thing was
puppies,
very. And
John.
The croquet thing was helpful, but that's just because I was an English major and I'm a Lewis Carroll fan.
Puppies,
so.
John.
No, I got the puppy. Okay. I guess I actually understood all of that, but so well done out of you. All right. Katie, how do you end up DJing? How did that come about for you?
Is that the proper term?
Yes. Ironically, I worked Star Wars weekends in entertainment, and the DJ of Star Wars weekends, I asked to DJ my wedding. And at my wedding, he said, oh, do you want to host this? Because I said, I love a microphone. And then I basically hosted my own wedding. And he was like, do you want to be a DJ? And I said, yeah. And that's how it happens.
Now, did that require you? There's a question later I wanted to ask about that for you to give advice to anybody who might want to get into that. But did that require you buying equipment of any sort or anything like that? What was your commitment to that in the beginning? Because I know years ago, and Katie, as we know, I'm incredibly old. So this is just after the introduction of electricity to the parks. I know that DJs really had to provide a good deal of their own equipment.
Yeah. So theoretically, especially because at Disney, you're just third party contracted. So you have to show up sometimes fully self-contained. So like your own table, your own speakers, your own everything. But they all kind of hire out through umbrella companies. So when I first started, I was hired by my boss. And so he let me borrow equipment until I was like for sure committed that I was actually good at it. At this point, I was still full-time in performing with Disney, so I was able to take the time to learn part-time until I wanted to commit it to be full-time, and then, yeah, it's a lot of investing.
I was going to say, that makes a lot of sense, and I didn't want it to end up for, you know, some people would end up like the elliptical machine that's to my right here, which I spent a lot of money on, and now I haven't been on it in years.
Does so. Your
well,
luckily,
that,
it?
That does
that?
Happen to a lot of people.
Is your wife?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would think is why making that investment. Because listen, I just want to say this for you guys that do the DJ. It looks like an incredibly fun job. There's a lot about it that I'm sure is enjoyable, but it's a lot of work.
Yes, it's a lot of both manual labor and you're always on. There's no sick days. There's no off days. There's no taking it out on the people because everyone's fun is on your shoulders. So, and yes, it's a lot of carrying stuff around.
Yeah.
To the middle of nowhere sometimes, like the river path.
Which we'll get to the river path. So when you started, were you at Disney? Were you doing weddings? Were you doing corporate gigs? And then I believe your boss, we haven't said his name, but I think he has been at a finish line with us early Star Wars days.
Yeah, DJ Elliot. He used to be, there's literally not even a fire station there anymore. It's kind of like moved around, but he used to be that back part of the very long cone stretch coming out of Magic Kingdom before you'd go past the Grand Floridian. He used to DJ out there, like in front of parked fire trucks, but that road doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah. And then we had him when we had our first Star Wars. They felt like we needed someone who was like a Star Wars expert, which we did need because those races, people went really deep in a costume. So it was great having him there to kind of curate that music. But yeah, where did you start? You know, were you right? I don't think you were like put out in front of the castle day one. You know, how does that sort of process work?
I started shadowing at Disney Springs. So I would go and I would watch how the show would go. And then I started like double whammying and helping with the show. And then it would be like, okay, you take this activity or you take this dance. And then when it seemed like I was confident enough to do it. And then I did start, we had Donald Steino Bash. So I was able to host an MC there for almost a year before I even started DJing. So that helped a whole lot because basically trained my one skill so that it was easy to start applying music theory and such to DJing.
All right. I have what's probably going to be a little bit of a difficult question, because one of the things that also impresses me about all of you folks that DJ is that while I do one gig in a day and then totally exhausted and need a nap and pudding and all the things that a man my age enjoys.
Butterscotch.
A couple episodes of Matlock. Take us through a typical semi-busy week for you, Katie.
Well, Run Disney weekends tend to be a nice peak of busyness because they somehow make it so that you can have like a triple or quadruple day when you add that like 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. shift hour. So depending on how insane the makeup is, I want to apply for the costume that morning. It'll be like a 2 a.m. alarm for the first shift and then 3 hours of high interacting. And then Saturday mornings, I do the Disney Springs Kids Club. So then I go straight from there to Disney Springs to do a 2.5 hour party there. And then sometimes I'll have an afternoon gig, or last Princess weekend, I had a wedding on the Saturday night. So then I drove out to the land and did a wedding. And then I came back just in time to make it for the start of Sunday's race.
I have two questions. One, I think, is it a little bit like us where you're afraid to say no to things as a contract performer, as an entertainer, because you say no, someone else gets the gig, you never get it back? Is that the same kind of feeling in being a DJ? It's not no one telling you that, but like that's your feeling.
Yes, 100%. And I also have just like work FOMO. So like if I'm not doing it, someone else is doing it. But like I want to be partying. So like what?
So because you love your job, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So outside of Disney, because those have to be some of the highlight gigs, what are some of your favorite gigs outside of Disney?
Well, with the same boss, but the company is called Show Before the Show, we do a bunch of Comic-Cons. So that gets me to travel all over the country, and I host trivias and karaoke's, and we throw after parties. So that's like crazy variety all in one weekend, and I'm traveling and I get to see new things. So those are always fun. And then I do a lot of like local, like Lake Nona. I do stuff out at Isleworth, and those are, it's always strange because people will come up and be like, oh my gosh, are you the lady from Disney Springs? Or are you, did I hear your voice at Run Disney? And I'll be like, yes, that's my crazy voice coming to you. Thank you.
See, you're like me. People very infrequently recognize me because I look like, but I open my mouth and they're like, wait a minute.
100%.
I've heard that somewhere. Let's jump back to the wardrobe, because that's something that's changed a lot for us over the years. In the beginning, I have about 40 18-year-old Run Disney polos, because basically that's what you got. You got like three polos at the beginning of the weekend every single time. But they're now, obviously, we're in wardrobe. You're in wardrobe as well, and makeup. First of all, I'm going to ask you the same question they always ask us. Do you ever get any notice ahead of time what your wardrobe's going to be so you can plan accordingly? And what's your favorite thing they've ever put you in?
Okay, so it's super weird for DJs because since we're contracted, the only time they provide us with costumes is when we are around y'all. So if we are at start right. line, finish line, or reunion lot, then we get dressed by the Disney company. If we're not there, then we dress ourselves. So if you ever see a DJ on a truck or on a river path or in the middle of somewhere, they're dressing themselves. The best costume I've shown up in was Yzma, but that was really a very self-motivated costume because I have always just wanted to dress up as Yzma. So, but that was very funny to do a full glue down of my eyebrows at 2 a.m. My favorite costume they put me in was probably Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, because that one was fun.
Oh, wow.
So I'm trying to remember. It all runs together on me now, but I remember that.
This is a question I have. Personally, that I don't know the answer to. When you are a DJ out on the course, what are your parameters? Like, you don't have to dress up. Do you have to dress up? What does Disney tell you? Because I don't know this.
Prior to the Soul Race, it was very much so just show up however you'd like to show up. And then after the Soul Race, we started having little meetings about staying with the theme, with the music, as well as what you could dress as or potential ideas. So now we do have time ahead of time to like plan and make something cute.
So I might be jumping ahead, but like, so you were in the park for New Year's Eve and you were in the park for Christmas and you're at Disney Springs. Does Disney partake in those costumes or is that still you? I'm sorry. These are actual questions of my own, not...
those are me.
Okay. Even on the castle stage or like the Tomorrowland stage?
Yes.
Wow. Do you get reimbursed for that? Or is this just like your decision?
No, but I did that one. I splurged on the twirly dress.
Yeah,
that was,
it was like
beautiful. Super famous on Instagram. And I was like, ooh, you know, your girl deserves it. And she's going to be, you know, in Magic Kingdom.
So I mean, I just think that people should have to appreciate like you're there, you're giving performance. And this is for all DJs on Disney property. But you've also had to take time ahead of time, working your playlist, getting things together. I'm not going to say schlep, but I, you know, get your equipment there and then think about what you're going to wear. I mean, that's a lot of work into that.
The hardest part is the schlep and not pre-sweating to death before you start the gig. So then like not looking like a mess before the gig starts because it's Florida. You know,
it's Florida, no... yep. Wow. Yeah.
No, yeah, 90% humidity at 4 a.m. Yeah. People have been there for it.
Well, I hope you guys, if you didn't appreciate the DJs enough, please, you know, appreciate them. And I think what one thing people appreciate about you is that you are part of the Run Disney team now, but you were a Run Disney runner for a long time, starting with marathon, as we said, in 2009. Did you just keep running from 2009?
Yes, pretty much.
Like you finished the first one, you were like, I love marathoning.
So I came down here on spring break from Boston, saw the marathon t-shirt on a dude and was like, oh my God, that exists. And then on my spring break, registered for the marathon the following January. And then when I came down in January, figured out about the college program and was like, committed, moving here. You could live here? Great. And then starting that May, I think I registered for a ESPN 5K or something.
Yeah.
And then there was an Everest scavenger and we did Tower of Terror.
We did them all. 10 milers, yeah.
Yeah. There was one, the very first food and wine, I dressed as leftovers and printed out pictures of just different foods and safety pinned them to me and then wrapped myself in saran wrap. So like, you know, you live and learn.
Do you have photos of this?
Probably somewhere.
Like,
that was an
probably
early
like
one,
an actual so that, picture. It's not like on your phone.
Right. That was an early one. So that might be like a, gotta look that up.
Wow.
But yeah, no, there have been some fascinating times. But yes, I feel like because I've run so many, I know the struggles and I know what you want to hear. And the worst thing you ever hear is someone being like, you're almost there at mile one of anything.
But even mile 12, like it doesn't feel like you're almost there. You run extremely fatigued for, let's just say, at best 6 minutes, and at worst we'll say 16, but we know it might even be more than that. That is not almost there. So, and I have tried to educate just everyone about that, because I can't imagine how irate John Pelkey would be if he's doing the 10K and at mile four someone's like, John, you're almost there. Like, I think you would just stop and be like, actually, I'm not.
You saw John Pelkey at a 5K run the 2.5 portion of the 5K and think he was at the end of it and then was disabused of that fact and had to continue running. So yeah, no, that wouldn't make me happy. It's not funny. It's like me at the finish line saying, welcome to the halfway point. It's funny to me, but I get it. It's not funny to anyone else, but I don't care. At some point in that day, I have to do jokes for me. And Carissa, you have to admit you do it too. Yeah. We do jokes just for us.
We do. Okay. Well,
and even me, if I'm just monologuing for 4 hours straight, especially like by myself in the middle of the woods, then there are points where I'm like, I forgot what I've even said or if I'm making sense, but good job.
But you do. People love you there, and we'll get to that. But did you have a favorite Run Disney race that you got to run? I know that you went to Disneyland this year. You ran a lot of the races, a lot of coast to coast. Do you have a favorite?
I think my favorite theme ever was the Avengers Infinity Gauntlet idea. Like, you could collect all the stones, superheroes the whole way. And because you can't have as much character work in California because it's all in Anaheim, they do a very good job of like shoving the Avenger stuff down your throat. And now they even have Avengers, but you know, we can't do, it's fine. We'll maybe get that in the future, but that would definitely have been, that was,
I mean,
the best.
Look, if people knew if I had any say in anything, Avengers would be back. And I have no say because I just push for it relentlessly because I freaking love the Avengers, and it just gave it like this energy and this like powerful, you know, vibe. That all like, there was Hydra there. It was amazing. Sorry, John.
Everyone around got like superhero attitudes because you're just like, oh yeah, no, this is great. And for the,
I'm sorry, were you talking about Disneyland? I have no, I'm sorry. I check out. It's a sore spot for me. All right. You kind of answered this, Katie, but just lay it out for people who, again, might recognize the voice. All right. So on a Run Disney weekend, you can be at the start line. You could be at the finish line. You mentioned that on Saturdays, you're at Disney Springs. Where else have you been positioned? And is there some place, not start or finish line, that you like the best?
For Run Disney or for anywhere in general?
Well, you could do both, actually, but start with the Run Disney.
And
is there some place, if you're not start or finish?
This is about to be springtime. People are going to listen to this on their way to springtime, and they want to know where to find the Katie Queen.
Okay, well, finish line is probably most inspirational because you're watching those people do what they sometimes don't think they can do, and you're watching miracles happen right in front of you. So those are always, you walk away satisfied. Start line is funnest because you have the crazy dynamic of working with you guys and cameras, and who even knows what the focus is, and if everyone's paying attention, or if you're just dancing for fun, then it's, that's, I love those elements. But being on the river path is like super personal because I'm less than 5 feet away from the people. And if someone wants to run up and say hello, they can, and we can have like half conversations. Shout out to the group of girls who stopped and did push-ups with me at Princess in the middle of a push-up challenge. They were like, yeah, we'll just pull to the side in the middle of our half marathon and do some push-ups. But that's, that point is fun. And I always bring out like a personal fan to put next to me to like blow people off. And I'm always like, I'm your biggest fan. Like, just come on over if you need some air or hype or whatever. And I'm just close enough to the finish line that you can be like, all right, this sucks, right? We're all in this together. This is terrible. Just get there. Some part of this has to be hard or else everyone would do it, you know?
So for springtime, you'll be with us for the 5K? I don't know. Do you know yet?
I will be at the finish line for the 10K, and I will be on the river path for the 10 miler.
Okay. Well, that then people know where to find you. Yeah. I believe that you were part of the Taylor to Springtime 2023 phenomenon. Is that correct?
That is 100% true. I had to leave before karma. I will say I stood up in the middle of Bejeweled to start walking and sprinted to my car. And the people that I was with for the concert, they were still getting out of the parking lot when I was pulling into Epcot. So thank God I left a song early.
Yeah.
And because I left a song early, I made it to the start line.
So what time did you have to be there?
2 a.m.
Okay. So, because I physically would not have made it because I had to get picked up at like one. I guess I would have had to just leave way early.
You don't have to.
It wouldn't
have to try to find a way to get you to park near.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I was like pulling in at 1:30 because I remember being like, okay, I got 30 minutes. What do I like take my lipstick off and put on more lipstick? I don't even know. What do I do at this point?
Were you tired? Did you go to Disney Springs after that? You're thinking.
Yeah, I think I would. No, because that was a Thursday into a Friday. So, because that was into the 5K.
Okay.
So after that, I got to nap and then go into.
Just the timing of that, John. My life would have been so much simpler if I could have just gone to Taylor Swift in Tampa. I would have saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Oh, that will play out over the next few months. But I love, and I think.
But you might get a new album. So like.
I know, right? Cece was at my house last night. We were watching the Taylor Swift concert. We were discussing that because I will be seeing her in London. Do you think we will get new tracks?
I hope so, because to plug the last party I just did, she dropped on Disney Plus. So if now everyone has seen the concert, you would think she's going to maybe do something different when she comes back.
I would be really excited.
That's just me speculating.
I know. So I just, we'll see in London. And then her album will have dropped right by springtime. I mean, there's going to be a lot happening. Maybe you'll get some tracks ready for us at the 10K finish. Maybe. Okay.
Hopefully they're uppity, because that's, you know, it could be one of those like feelings kind of albums. And then nothing's worse than like a slow, sad song across your finish line.
But sometimes it still works. Sometimes, you know, if it's raining, it's, you know, they all work there on those days. All right. So we've talked about how hectic your schedule is, whether it's work induced or personally Taylor Swift induced. We know Run Disney weekends are crazy. You've navigated that as a DJ, as a runner. What tips do you have for anyone that's trying to manage their sleep, their rest, their energy through a Run Disney weekend?
Stay moving. You need to rest. You need to sleep. But when you are awake, you need to be moving. Because if you stop your legs, that's when you start. I mean, you know, in a literal sense, you build up the lactic acid. But just in also a mental sense, if you're like, can I do the parks all day and then do the? Yes, do it. Walk it off, keep it walking, keep it moving. That's why I scheduled, like when I used to run all of them, I would literally, there was one goofy weekend, free dopey times, that I learned Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It parade on stilts. And I ran from stilt rehearsal to the half marathon. The marathon took me through the PC, which is the parade building where you like learn it. And the show director let me miss the first 2 hours of rehearsal. And so I ran into the rehearsal while they were doing it and like waved at everybody and then finished the marathon and came back to the rehearsal.
John, is that one of the craziest, that's maybe one of the craziest things that I've ever heard.
That is. And normally, you know, normally I think people are nuts who go to the parks afterwards, but it does sort of make a little bit of sense that you're a shark. Keep swimming at this point, because you don't want to sink to the bottom.
Yeah. If you like go and take like a accidental 8-hour nap because you woke up early, no, you're dead. Now you're going to wake up for dinner and your legs aren't moving, and don't do that.
Yeah. Managing any level of rest, and particularly for you guys, we're a little bit luckier in that respect, but we don't always do it well either. All right. Now this is more of on a personal note, because I worked in the tuxedo rental business for a number of years when I was in college. So since you have been a wedding DJ, are there any groomzilla, bridezilla stories that you wish to share? And if not, man, do I have several.
Ooh. Well, so luckily for me, because like we don't focus too much on weddings, a lot of the weddings I do work are like people I know or people I know through somebody I know. But there was one wedding I worked where everyone of one age group were definitely like the EDM crowd, and one half of the family was entirely Latin. And Latin music slaps, and so does a good EDM song. So here we are, and I would play a Latin song, and someone would literally walk up and request like Odessa, and then I would put that on, and someone would walk up and literally be like, hey, can we get some like anything Brazilian? And I'd be like, sure. But in my head, I was like, oh, I was not mentally prepared to go back and forth and back and forth like this. And I would literally watch the crowd clear. Like half the crowd would come out for the song and then they would go away. And then the other half would come out. And I was like, ooh, this is actually a lot of pressure.
Whereas, like, a lot of pressure.
Most weddings, you just play a bunch of bangers and everybody's happy and excited. Yeah. But this was like, they wanted specific music. And when you played their music, they were very happy, but it was fun to watch.
Well,
funny dynamic.
Look, they made up the guest list, so it's not your fault. That's all I would say, you know. And here, I thought you were going to chime in on when we're talking about disaster situations. So many DJs about, I thought it was a clean playlist. Well, never ever take, can I just say, and I have to sometimes provide music for the 5Ks that I do, corporate 5Ks, never ever take Spotify or anybody's word on the fact that it is a clean version of the song.
Never, ever, 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 ever. And if you're ever playing anything on Disney property, listen to it before you play it.
Oh, I used to do the music for Brave Spring Training, and once I played the album version of Jeremy by Pearl Jam, so... Just listen to it, folks, and you can see what the good Atlanta Braves and Detroit Tigers fans got to hear on Disney property.
Did you get in trouble?
No, nobody knew. Okay. Nobody was really paying any attention. In fact, that was the year that I actually had several people go, man, you guys play the best music. And I think it was certainly because stupid little word that starts with F just out all over the speakers at Atlanta Braves spring training.
Actually,
maybe that's why they won the World Series the year after they left Disney. Could be. Might have something to do with it. Just saying.
You were the good luck part. The Taylor Swift party made me super nervous at Disney Springs because T-Swift loves to throw in her random.
We had my girlfriends and I were having a discussion about it this morning because one sent a video of her, I think 4-year-old, singing Snow on the Beach. Like weird, but it is beautiful. And so the other girl was like, oh, we always listen to the clean version. And I was like, there's a clean version because my kids just get, and I'm like, oh,
yes.
And it's Claire. So, Claire knows it. She's 8. She always, we were in the golf cart last night and we were listening and she was like, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Like, she knows it all. But then I was like, maybe for Elliot, I should look up the clean versions.
Most of them do have clean versions, especially like a good Betty. But when I threw the party at Disney Springs, I normally don't play any H's or D words. And she has some of those, so I was just like
her and Bruno, they throw in some in there, so
not even talk about Olivia Rodrigo.
All right, so let's talk about dream job for you. Is there an event that you would like to work that you haven't had a chance? Do you have a bucket list blue sky dream that you can share with the world?
Well, I would probably love to do anything on the castle stage as me. I've been on the castle stage before as other people, but it would be delightful to be up there as the Katie Queen. And then I would like to do anything for Lady Gaga.
Nice.
And not disincluding cleaning the floors. No, I'm just kidding. But like, seriously, I would do anything for her. I would DJ her walking in an elevator.
I would like to, if I ever achieve that level of celebrity where I need a DJ DJing me into an elevator, Katie, you will be that DJ.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And you will play Love Story by Taylor Swift because I'm still obsessed with it. It's my favorite Taylor Swift song. I know. I know. Yes. I know. And we haven't even discussed on any of our shows yet the fact that I watched the Disney Plus, how excited I was to watch the Disney Plus version and how many thoughts I have about it. But that's for another day.
We got to write that down. Next week's chat. Okay.
All right. Okay. We're going to talk about it. But let's jump to something we brought up earlier, because you're obviously having a really successful career in what you're doing right now. If you had any advice for anyone, we already talked about rent your equipment in the beginning, people. It's like, don't buy a boat. Rent the boat before you purchase the boat. What advice would you give to somebody who would like to get into? Because a lot of people will come up to you, I'm sure, and ask, hey, how'd you get to do this? This looks like it's a lot of fun.
Well, and especially children who come up, I always say there are apps that literally look exactly like my mixer and you could download an app and you can be like, this is fun. And if it is fun, then great. But if you like download the app and you're like, that was fun for 5 minutes, then you dabbled, you tried. But to get started, it is very important that you have a music library because you can't play music you don't have. So you have to start there. And then I would also just say it was one of those things for me where I can't believe I wasn't a DJ before I was a DJ because I was the loudest person in every break room and can turn any sentence into a song and refer to any moment as a song. And I'm never quiet. And if there was a voice in your head, it's probably me because I'm talking out loud for you. So like, just seemed like a very obvious thing for me. So you can tell like someone who comes up, you're like, okay. But there's also DJs who don't host as much and they're behind the mixer, and that's also amazing and a different total party vibe. But for me, thinking about Disney especially, you can tell in someone if they're like ready to perform.
You got to be on. It's a lot of work.
I have a quick follow-up on that, too, because this is the other thing, too, and why, because some of our mutual friends have said to me, John, you should DJ, and other than the technical stuff being far beyond my thing, I like all kinds of music, but I have such a limited knowledge of anything recorded after 1993.
You just got to find the right audience then.
Sure. Well, yeah, limited. I'm like third weddings would be outstanding for me. I think third weddings would be like the top of the list of things for me to do. But that is another thing, though. You really have to stay on top of what's popular, a wide breadth of music, because you're going to be asked to play anything from Gershwin to EDM.
Yes, I'm sure Gershwin is highly, highly requested.
I will not have you disparaging Gershwin on this podcast.
Disparaging. I'm just saying no one runs up at Disney and is like, play Gershwin.
It's not the type of event. For the third weddings, it would be huge.
Katie, you better have that on blast now, because someone at the 10K will ask for Gershwin.
It would better not be you, because I played Aristocats 3 times and no one heard it last time. What? Who said that?
We didn't know Tracy was dressed as an Aristocat until midway through the day in which she was dressed as an Aristocat. Katie, we live in bubbles.
We do.
We communicate only with each other. And even then, we're not actually listening to each other. We're just talking while the other person's analyzing something else that's going on. And then when that person pauses, the next person goes and does. It's a very weird dance we do.
Plus, the voices in my head at that point are having a conversation. You know, they've been up way too long. So my awareness of what's happening around me, let's face it, I'm lucky I haven't walked off the front of the stage at some point. I'm so unaware at times. But I do appreciate you trying to do that for me. And I love you for that. And I still hate Mark Ferreira for not dressing me as Thomas O'Malley, the Alley Cat.
We can't get over it. We can't get over the blatant disrespect that was distributed.
Dresses as Tracy, who complains about every costume she gets because she's not cute. Johnny's never complained about a costume.
And she complains about being an animal, yet she was an animal, didn't complain. It's hard.
It's hard, that costume.
I'm very frustrated.
It is. But I think springtime's going to be an interesting one for costumes a little bit, you know, because we're less just, I'm interested to see where we end up on.
It's like somewhat more specific, but not specific. But
right. Yeah. Specific. It's specific. Yeah. And then like, how deep are we all in one? Are we all lions and monkeys and warthogs? Like, and this is a hot take, John. I understand when two of us or three of us are the main race icon and one of us is the challenge, but I don't like that. I like for us to all be one group. Hard.
The year I was Sally, that was the year that we were just doing time periods.
Yes, which that was okay because that made sense. But like, there was one race where like Riley was Genie and all of us were something else. And like, I like to be like a team. I enjoy that. So
a good group pick, you know.
Anyway, but I know it's hard and they run out of ideas and they've done things and blah yada yada yada. But that's my say on that. But Katie, do you have a favorite track or favorite artist for Run Disney that you play, you know, at every event and it always gets a good response?
Ironically, Say a Little Prayer for You. Always good. Beginning, end, middle, everyone's hype. A good throwback. T-Swift usually goes over well. Mm-hmm. Applause is my favorite.
Of course.
And especially Finish Line. I love to slap them with a good either Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. Or what's it called?
Celine, Happily Ever After. Whitney, any of those?
Oh, yes. But like the last couple runners, if I give them the Happily Ever After or something, they're crying, we're crying, everyone's crying.
It does. Yeah. You're the only one, I think, that does the Happily Ever After. And I really like that one.
Yeah, we all appreciate that. All right, Katie, before we get to our standard questions we ask everybody, do you have, this is going to be difficult to narrow down, one favorite career moment in your Run Disney career, either an interaction you had with somebody, a moment, one thing that always stands out if somebody asks you, tell me about when you do Run Disney, something that you would throw out as maybe indicative of the best moment you've had.
Best moment on stage might be, this is going to sound corny, but I get to work with you guys, and it was literally 10 years of standing and watching you guys do this, and now I get to do that. And like, I'm annoying in one of those, like, I will always point it out, it's a pinch me moment. But like every single time I show up, I'm like, I can't believe this is real. Like I used to stand in all these corrals and be like, I can't believe that these people have to talk for this many hours at this time. What? I want to do that.
And you get
and
to
now I get to do it. It's like crazy. So it like that, it's not one particular moment, but literally just the fact that I get to do it boggles my mind. And every time I get asked to do one, I'm just like, I can't believe this is real again.
I think Tracy has a similar feeling because she ran and then hers was more or less like, how do I take their jobs?
Yeah, exactly.
Before we move on to the standard questions, you brought up a point that I want to kind of have you illustrate is that when you're up on stage with us at the start and we say 3, 2, 1, go, and a song plays, the first song that plays is a song that you have not chosen. They are chosen by, I believe right now, Sean does that. People on our entertainment team pick, what is it, like 60 seconds of a song that's a Disney song that they think is themed to that race. Can you talk us through that?
Yes.
So people know.
Yes. So at the starting line, both the 3, 2, 1, go songs and any of the onstage intro songs are all done by a backstage technician. And they're almost always off of a Disney soundtrack to some extent, whether it's a Disney Mania soundtrack or an actual like Disney movie soundtrack. And then we come in with a song underneath it. So when you two are bantering and you're like, oh, Taylor Swift's Love Story, the first song that we'll play is Maui's You're Welcome. And then I'll try to come in with Love Story or something like that, because then I just play while you two banter.
Yeah.
Before you say 3, 2, 1, go again.
And for those of you who don't realize, it's very, I was going to say, John, and you can follow, that when you do that, that's necessary because that brings the energy back and the best start line DJs are in tune with what you said, listening and bringing stuff in. John, what were you going to say?
You know, I was going to say the same thing. Start and finish line. What you do a great job, and we have a number of DJs who do it, when you banter with us as well. Okay, some DJs don't banter as much, but you're listening to the conversation, and if we drop something, you'll throw a song in there that is like, oh my gosh, we just mentioned this. So that's greatly appreciated. And for anybody wishing to do it, that's important. If you're working a show like we have, you're not just there to play music. You are integrated into the show in so many ways. So I appreciate that particularly. And every now and then when you play a classic rock song, so I know what it is too. That's
but he really likes Steve Weinstein because Steve Weinstein plays all his favorite songs, but that's fine. I know Tracy loves having you because Tracy, whoever goes first at the end of a 5K or 10K is at the finish line by themselves for a long time. And I know when you're there, you just basically become a second race announcer. And I know that's really helpful to that person that is there. All right. Before we wrap, we've got our final questions for you that we ask all of our 3, 2, 1, go guests. The first one is, when you get to a hard place in a run or workout, how do you get through that? Because you're a DJ, but you are also a runner. And I know that you go out and some long runs. You're not one of the runners that posts that every day. I kind of want to see more of your runs on social media, please. But how do you inspire yourself to get through a hard place in a runner workout?
Well, I definitely have life FOMO. So that's why I also like don't sleep that much, because other people can be having more fun than me. But also somehow I have been blessed with two working legs, and I being at Run Disney races, you see what people can do without all of the amenities, and I am a perfectly abled person, so really in my head it's like I have no excuse to not take advantage of this. So
well, and that
is a hard place. You just think of someone who's doing it and they're doing it with less, so you're like, if you can do it, what's my excuse?
Well, and that's a great answer, because it leads into my question, which what's the most inspiring thing that you've ever seen at one of the races? And we know at the finish line, I mean, we've all been there. It's just, you know, one story after another. And at the start line as well, when Riley's diving into what people are going through and they still show up and do it. But if you can pick one, and I know it's the impossible question that we all, but what's the most inspiring thing you've ever seen?
I can never get over the chair athletes that are being pushed by somebody else, because again, in my mind, sometimes I can't even do something. Now imagine you have to do that and you're pushing somebody else and you're doing it for them to experience it. So it's just like, that to me is next level inspiration and giving and inspiring and the whole thing. It's just, Yeah, I can never get over those. No. Any athletes with disabilities who cross that finish line are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to be there at that finish line, especially those final finishers. We get to see some amazing moments that you help support. Before we let you go, if people want to follow you, your career, your lack of sleep, your party energy, your favorite songs, where can they do that?
On the Instagram, I am at the.the.kd.queen. You know, me and my self-proclaimed crown. Same on TikTok, but yeah. And I'm about to embark upon my, I believe, 11th 5K a day May. So if anyone out there wants to 5K a day in their May.
Jump Pelkey,
you know,
not signing up for that, by the way.
You can. Anything counts.
0.5K.
You just have to travel.
I can sign up, Katie. Sign up. But beyond that, it's very, very questionable. But that's admirable. And yeah, anybody who's listening, please do it. Well, Katie, it's always a pleasure to see you. It's weird to be seeing you at a normal time as we approach noon, at which point we've said goodbye to you hours ago normally when we're seeing you. But thanks for spending some time with us, and specifically thanks for everything you do that helps us out, because I know you're saying how much you enjoy working with us, but we always enjoy working with you. Katie Queen, thank you for being on 3-2-1 Go the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, and I can't wait for springtime weekend. Woo!
All right, athletes, here's the drill. Time to shape up your diet. Harissa, give them the goods.
All right, today at Healthier You, I'm gonna plead with you all. Please, please get omega-3s into your diet. Most Americans, they don't eat enough fish. And it's really, John, do you know how many times a week you need to eat fish to get your baseline levels there?
My guess would be at least 3 times a week.
It's just two.
Oh, really?
Looking for two. That's all I'm looking for.
I actually meet that. Good. Easily meet that. Because my wife doesn't eat red meat or pork. Yeah. But I love fish. So that's one thing I probably get enough of.
So omega-3 is so important for cardiovascular health, for our brain health, but for runners, because we do break down our body in certain ways, creating that inflammation when we're bettering our body, when we're lengthening our lifespan by running, we're breaking things down. So we need to get in those omega-3s. Fish are the best sources, but unfortunately, not all fish are created equal when it comes to omega-3. So you can't say, well, I have tilapia every week. Tilapia, not a superstar when it comes to omega-3s. So the heavy hitters is the salmon, the wild-caught salmon, mackerel, sardines, which I've said it before, they're so good for you. I don't eat them, but if you do, if you could,
I love
you
them.
Would, do those trout, herring, anchovies as well. The Ninja Turtles were right on that, putting them on their pizzas, and albacore tuna. So those are the highest ranking ones in omega-3 fatty acids. They've got that EPA, the DHA that you need both. And the American Heart Association says at least 2 servings a week of the fatty fish to ensure your adequate intake. Omega-3s are something we need to get from food. And this can be a discussion for another day, but the American diet has too many omega-6s in it. And when the ratio of 6s to 3s get off, it can actually be negative for our health. So because of all the processed foods and the other types of oils we get in, the ratio shifts. We can talk about this maybe in a few weeks on the podcast. I'll make a note to add that in. So it's really important that we're getting in those omega-3s. So you can get them from other sources. They're just readily available and easily absorbed in the fish. So that's why it's sort of that go-to source. But flax seeds or flaxseed oil, make sure they're ground. Chia seeds, which if you're making overnight oats, if you're doing yogurt, just throw those in. Walnuts. So when we pick nuts, they all kind of like fruits. It's like they're not all the same. And the different nuts have different nutrients. Well, if you're thinking about omega-3s, say you're a vegetarian, choose walnuts for your nut source. Hemp seeds and then canola oil as well can be controversial, but canola oil does help support with those omega-3s. You can supplement it as well. I actually supplement it daily. It's a supplement from Thorne that has CoQ10, which is another supplement that I do recommend runners take. But make sure that you're getting that in there if it's hard for you to get it through diet alone. And then as always, talk to your healthcare professional before you make any changes or supplement regimens. But I can help you with that. I can help you with all of your nutrition. 2 options for you. One, you guys know it's my 12-week course called Healthier You. If you want to sort of overhaul your whole diet, that's what I recommend you do. It's 12 weeks of education, but you can access it for a year, and you have a year of chats with me where you email me your personal questions. I'm answering them. You're making those changes and you're seeing results. That's Healthier You. We also have the seminar series where you get meal plans quarterly, and then you get access to the monthly chat. So if you're making changes and you want my feedback on it, that's a lower price option. Both of those courses, you're going to get a chat with Jeff on Monday, April 29th, if you sign up before April 27th. Both courses, you go to GallowayCourse.com. You'll see them there. Use the code Jeff. It'll be our second biggest savings of the year. So don't miss Jeff on Healthier You.
Athletes, listen up. It's mail call time. Announcer Free, present.
All right, Sarge, today's question comes to our 321GO podcast at gmail.com mailbox. In case you have a question, send it to that. This one's for Carissa, and I really don't think I'm going to be any help for this. It also illustrates how you get really, really important questions, and people just simply ask, what does John do all the time? What does John actually do? What's John watching on television
right now?
John,
where's our Apollo 13 moment? How's that going?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
You guys, Dorothy, he has spent so much time, and yet so little results have yielded. But Dorothy, we haven't forgotten you.
That's on my tombstone, sister. I tell you right now. So much time, so few results.
Can that be the sub motto of the Pelkey Running Club?
The ever growing Pelkey Running Club, by the way. Shout out to those
folks.
Shout
out to DW. He got a hat. Doug got a hat. And I saw, was that Riley Claremont in a hat?
Riley Claremont
Did he pay for that?
I don't know.
He's very frugal.
I got my hat as a gift.
I got a hat as a gift.
The rest of the hat. Sales hat. That's the completely separate for me.
Anybody who
did pay, thank you. Thank you very, very much. It's not for my profit, I assure you. But anyway, let's get to our question, because this is actually something that I think a lot of people are going to have interest in. All right. This is from Mary. Mary says, I'm currently 8 months postpartum and recently completed the fairy tale challenge. Congratulations, Mary. I exclusively breastfed my baby, and I found it was really hard to figure out my training nutrition. Carissa, can you talk about some things to think about and consider nutritionally if you're breastfeeding and training for a long distance run?
Yes. So first off the bat, you know, women out there coming back from that postpartum journey, give yourself grace and be an ally with your postpartum, your medical team. And I also recommend physical therapy, like pelvic area therapy, because there's so much that goes on there. So be up with your team before you're making any changes or you're starting to go on these long runs. I think I said I took it very gradually, and I think it was 8 weeks before I was going over a mile. To answer your question quickly, Mary, it's a lot of food and so, so much hydration, because when you are breastfeeding, that's actually, you know, people say when you're pregnant, you're eating for two, John, you actually need more calories breastfeeding than you do at your last trimester. So just to create the milk alone takes a lot of calories, but also a lot of hydration. So you've got to really, really, Mary, focus on taking care of your body and giving your body the nutrients, because the risk, if you don't, it's going to be injury to you, but also a decreased milk supply, which I know that you don't want. So hydration is important all day long. Drink water regularly. Add in electrolyte drinks for you, I would say, before and after. Eat nutrients-dense foods that are getting you don't fill up just on crackers and chips because you're trying to get more calories. Make sure they're nutrient-dense, because those foods are going to help prevent injury if we're getting things like whole grain carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, healthy fats. Healthy fats are going to be your friend too. Olive oil, the pesto that John and I talk about in a future episode, that's good for you. The peanut butters, the nut butters, avocado, like I said, all of those things, the omega-3 fatty acids we just talked about, really important for you. You're going to want an additional 300 to 500 calories a day just to breastfeed. And then add on top of that, I want you to add about 100 calories for every 45 minutes that you're exercising. So it's really a lot. Don't stuff yourself, but kind of spread out your meals throughout the day. And then you probably know this, but you're having to plan your running around your nursing or your pumping. So what you're doing is amazing. You are fantastic to take on that journey and want to give yourself time and still feed your baby. Obviously, fed is best, but what you are doing is so impressive. So keep doing that. And then I would say there's those lactation cookies that you can make or buy. Those are perfect for you. They're really energy dense. Yes, they're a nice sweet treat, but they have some good nutrition as well. And then make sure you're resting between those runs. Give yourself maybe extra time between the long runs, especially for those pelvic ligaments to heal. But keep hydrating, keep eating, give your baby those snuggles, and keep on running. Thank you, Mary, for the question. Thank you, Katie. You guys, it is springtime surprise week. I will be at all the races. I will be at the expo on Friday with the book. John will be having the best weekend or the worst weekend of his life to be determined. Listen next week for the recap episode. Give us all the encouragement on 321GO Instagram. Share your stories. Share your races. 321GO podcast at gmail.com. That was fun, John. Let's get to the race.
That's right. And bye-bye.